Hey everyone, welcome back.
It's great to be here.
So today we're going to be diving deep into a topic that I know a lot of dog owners think about, neutering.
It's a big one.
It is a big one, and we've got a ton of research here, a stack of articles.
Yeah, we've got some veterinary articles. We've got a blog post from a veterinarian. We got some advice from a UK pet site, and even a personal anecdote about chemical castration.
Nice.
So we've got all our bases covered, I think.
Yeah, so we're going to take all this information and hopefully unpack it so that you can make the best decision for your furry pal.
Right. We want to cut through all the confusion,
yes,
all the noise, and all the conflicting information out there and give you the tools you need to make that decision.
Because it can be confusing.
It can be.
There's a lot of back and forth.
Yeah, and even seasoned dog owners are often surprised by some of the latest research.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get too far, I did want to mention something kind of interesting that I found in the research that I feel like we should address right up front.
Okay.
It said that neutered dogs statistically live 14% longer.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big number.
It is a big number.
But longer life doesn't necessarily mean a better life.
That's very true.
And that's why we're taking this deep dive today.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about all the pros and cons,
and
the nuances.
Yeah, so longer life doesn't automatically mean better life. And yeah, like you said, that's why we're doing this deep dive to really understand the nuances of this decision.
Yeah.
Okay, so why even consider neutering your dog?
Well, some of the classic reasons still ring true.
Okay.
Preventing accidental litters is a big one.
Yeah.
Overpopulation in shelters is a real problem.
Yes.
And as responsible pet owners, we should be doing our part to prevent that. And then, of course, there's the health angle.
Right.
Those veterinary articles were very clear about that.
Mm.
Neutering completely eliminates the risk of testicular cancer.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty good reason right there.
I think so.
Yeah.
It can also reduce the risk of prostate problems and certain types of anal tumors.
Okay.
So from a purely medical standpoint, there are definite benefits.
Okay, great. But then I noticed in some of these articles too that it's not necessarily a cure-all for like behavior issues.
Right. That's one of the areas where our thinking has evolved a little bit over the years.
Okay.
We used to believe that neutering would solve aggression or roaming.
Right.
But the research is a little bit more complicated than that.
Okay.
It can help.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if those behaviors are strongly linked to testosterone.
Right.
And they haven't become really ingrained habits yet.
So it's not like a magic wand.
No.
But it can be part of the solution.
Exactly.
Okay, so there's a lot to consider there. And we have to really think about the individual differences.
I do.
In our dogs.
We do, because for instance, sometimes a dog's testosterone is masking some underlying anxiety.
Oh, wow.
And in those cases, neutering could make it worse.
Now, that is really interesting.
It is. And that's where...
How do we even know? Like,
well, that's where chemical castration can be really helpful.
Okay.
Because you can see how your dog responds to the lower testosterone without making that permanent change.
So that's like a good trial run then.
It is.
Okay. Well, let's break down both of these options then.
Sounds good.
Starting with the more traditional surgical castration, walk us through what that actually entails.
All right. So surgical castration, it's what most people think of when they think of neutering.
Mm-hmm.
It involves removing the testicles,
okay,
which leads to a rapid decrease in testosterone.
Right.
And this is done under general anesthesia.
Mm.
So your dog's completely unaware during the procedure.
Okay. And then all of our research points to some like pretty standard pros here.
Yeah.
It's a one-time thing. It can potentially be cheaper over your dog's lifetime than those repeated hormone implants.
Right.
And it can be really essential if your dog has undescended testicles.
Yeah, those can be a real problem.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
So undescended testicles, also called cryptorchidism, have a higher risk of developing tumors.
Oh, wow.
Because they're often located in the abdomen or inguinal canal instead of in the scrotum.
Okay.
So they're inside the body, exposed to higher temperatures, and that increases the cancer risk.
So if those haven't descended by the time a puppy is like 6 months old, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, in those cases, surgical removal is usually recommended.
Gotcha.
Okay. Just to eliminate that cancer risk.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. But surgery is still surgery.
It is.
Anesthesia always carries some risk, even if it's small.
Even if it's small.
There's recovery time. There's potential for infection. You know, if your dog is messing with the incision.
Right.
And I guess if your dog's behavior actually gets worse because of the lower testosterone,
Yeah.
you're kind of stuck with it.
You're stuck with it.
That's a hard one to swallow.
It is, and that brings us back to chemical castration.
All right, well, tell me a little bit more about how that works.
Okay, so it's a pretty neat solution.
Great.
It's a small implant about the size of a microchip placed under the skin.
Okay.
And this implant releases a hormone
Right.
that shuts down testicular function.
Okay.
And the effects typically last for 6 or 12 months.
So the big plus here is it's reversible.
Yeah, that's a big draw for a lot of owners
Right.
who are hesitant about making that permanent decision.
Okay. And it avoids anesthesia and those surgical risks.
Right.
You could even use this long term
You can.
if surgery was too risky for your dog
Yep, you got it.
because of age or other health conditions.
Absolutely.
Okay, but it does have some downsides
Yeah, it does.
because it has to be replaced every 6 to 12 months.
Right.
That could get expensive.
Especially over the course of the dog's life.
Yeah, especially over a lifetime.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work instantly.
No, it takes about 6 to 8 weeks
Okay.
before you really see the full effects.
So if you've got a hot female dog in the neighborhood,
Right.
this is not a quick fix.
No, it's not.
Okay, so both of these have pros and cons. And it sounds like there are some potential side effects that apply to both of them.
Yeah.
One of the biggest ones seems to be weight gain.
Yeah, weight gain is pretty common.
Why is that so common?
Well, it's because those sex hormones play a role in regulating metabolism and appetite.
Okay.
And when those levels drop,
Right.
your dog's appetite might increase while their energy needs decrease.
Yeah.
So that can lead to those extra
So
pounds.
it's
And
not just the late night snack raids, it's
yeah.
their whole system that's changing.
Exactly.
Okay, and what about coat changes?
Oh, yeah, the fluff factor.
Yeah.
Hormonal shifts can lead to a softer, fluffier coat.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's dramatic,
Yuck.
might be adorable,
Yeah.
might not be what you were expecting.
Right. It's like a gamble.
A little bit.
All right, so we've covered a lot of ground here.
We
I've
have.
talked about the why, the how, the what ifs. But what does all this mean for my dog?
That's the million-dollar question, right? And the truth is, there's no one-size-fits-all answer.
Right.
It depends on your individual dog, your lifestyle,
Okay.
your reasons for considering neutering in the first place.
So where do we even begin to unpack all of that?
Well, that's where the next part of our deep dive comes in.
Okay.
We're going to take a look at both of those options in more detail
All right.
and really break it down for you.
I can't wait to dig into that.
Yeah.
But before we go, I have to share something. I read about neutering in Germany.
Oh, really?
Apparently, you can't just get your dog neutered on a whim over there.
What?
That's
That's
Burpo. One
interesting.
of the sources said that the Animal Protection Act in Germany actually requires a valid reason for neutering.
Okay.
So it can't be just for convenience. It has to be something that could actually improve the dog's quality of life.
Interesting.
And get this, it's the vet who ultimately makes that call, not the owner.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a very different approach
It is, isn't it?
than what we're used to here.
Yeah.
I wonder what the impact of that law has been.
I know, it really makes you think about the ethics of it all,
It does.
doesn't it?
It does.
Okay, well, until next time, thanks for tuning in.
See you then.
We'll be back with more insights and information to help you make the best choice for your furry friend.
Absolutely.
Welcome back to our deep dive, everyone.
We're back.
Still thinking about that German law.
Me too. It really makes you think.
It really does. It makes you think about the ethics of this whole thing.
Yeah, and it really highlights
Right.
the importance of having those
Yeah.
open and honest conversations with your vet.
Right. And speaking of the vet,
Yeah.
one of the sources emphasized
Okay.
the importance of preoperative consultations.
Right. Those are really important no matter where you live
Right.
because it gives the vet a chance to thoroughly evaluate your dog's health,
Okay.
look for any underlying conditions,
Yeah.
and, make sure they're a good candidate for anesthesia if you're
Yeah.
going the surgical route.
Okay. And one of those things that they specifically mentioned checking for in those pre-op exams
Yeah.
were undescended testicles.
Makes sense,
Yeah.
given that cancer risk we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
If they haven't descended by 6 months,
Right.
then surgery becomes even more important.
Gotcha. And then another thing that was kind of all over the place was the ideal age for neutering.
Right.
Some articles suggested waiting until the dog was fully grown.
Yeah.
Some were more flexible. What's your take?
Yeah, it's true. There's no hard and fast rule.
It really does depend on the breed and the individual dog,
mm-hmm.
but generally waiting until they're a little bit more mature makes sense.
Okay.
Those hormones play a really important role
mm-hmm.
in their development.
Right, not just physically.
Not just physically.
But mentally.
But mentally as well.
Okay. And a few of these sources mentioned a possible link between early neutering
mm-hmm.
and an increased risk of joint problems.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in large breeds.
Especially in large breeds, yeah.
Like hip dysplasia and cruciate ligament tears.
Right. Those are serious.
Yeah. These sound pretty serious.
A cruciate ligament tear is essentially a knee injury.
Oh.
And it's one of the most common injuries in dogs.
Wow.
And it can require surgery and a long recovery.
Oh, gosh.
So early neutering in large breeds
yeah.
has also been linked to increased height.
Okay.
Because those growth plates stay open longer.
Right.
And this can kind of change the forces on their joints
mm-hmm.
and make them more susceptible to these types of injuries.
So we really have to think about those long-term
yeah.
health implications.
We do.
Oh.
Definitely talk to your vet about the best timing for your dog's breed and size.
Okay.
Don't rush into it just because it's commonly done at a certain age.
Right. Okay, now let's go back to chemical castration.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier that it takes a while to take effect.
Right. It's not an instant switch
right.
in those first few weeks.
Yeah.
After the implant,
mm-hmm.
there can actually be a temporary increase
in
testosterone.
Wow.
Before the suppression kicks in.
So you might not see those changes in behavior.
Right. And if preventing breeding is your goal,
mm-hmm.
you need to be extra careful
okay.
during those first few weeks.
Gotcha.
Keep those in-heat females far away.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're saying it's not a magical solution?
No, it's not. And I think one of the sources put it really well.
Okay.
Said a dog's temperament,
mm-hmm.
training,
right.
personality,
yeah.
ability to work are the result of genetics and conditioning,
okay.
not just sex hormones.
So true.
So it's important to remember that neutering,
mm-hmm.
whether it's surgical or chemical,
right.
it's not a substitute
okay.
for proper training,
mm-hmm.
socialization,
right.
and addressing any underlying behavioral issues.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I guess some dogs might not.
Some dogs might not experience
yeah.
any behavioral changes at all.
Right.
Every dog is different.
That's so true.
Some might become calmer, less interested in marking or chasing after females, and others might not change at all.
Okay, so let's just recap.
Okay.
Those chemical castration.
Yeah.
Pros and cons one more time.
All right, so on the plus side,
mm-hmm.
it's reversible.
Right.
That's a big one.
Big one.
For a lot of owners.
Yeah.
Plus, it's less invasive than surgery.
Oh.
No general anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
Recovery is a lot faster.
And it's a good alternative.
It is.
For older dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Or dogs with health conditions.
Right.
That make surgery risky.
Absolutely.
Okay. But on the flip side.
Yeah.
It's not a permanent solution.
Right.
Those implants need to be replaced every 6 to 12 months.
And that can get pricey.
It can.
Over time.
Yeah. And it's not an instant fix.
Nope.
For behavior issues.
It's not.
And there's always the potential for side effects.
There is.
Just like with any medical procedure.
Right. We talked about weight gain and coat changes, but there are a few other less common side effects as well.
Okay. Like what?
One article mentions swelling.
Okay.
At the implant site,
mm-hmm.
which is usually temporary.
Okay.
And then in very rare cases, there have been reports of increased sexual interest or aggression right after the implant.
Okay.
That's that initial hormone surge we were talking about.
Oh, right. Okay.
It usually settles down quickly.
Gotcha.
But it's something to be aware of.
Yeah, there's always more to learn.
There is.
And we should emphasize we're not vets.
No, we're not.
So consult with your vet.
Absolutely.
For personalized advice.
They can help you weigh the risks and benefits.
Oh, right.
And make the best choice for your dog.
Okay, good reminder. And speaking of important reminders, we should probably talk about post-operative care.
Post-operative care.
What are the essentials there?
Okay, so pain management is key.
Okay.
Your vet will likely prescribe
mm-hmm.
some pain medication.
Okay.
Just to keep your dog comfortable.
Right.
Especially in those first few days after the surgery.
Okay.
And then, of course, the Elizabethan collar.
Right. The cone of shame.
The cone of shame.
Essential.
It is crucial.
Yeah.
For preventing them
mm-hmm.
from licking or chewing
right.
at the incision.
Right. And that can cause infection.
Absolutely.
So better to have a little cone-induced awkwardness.
I think so.
Than a post-op infection.
Yeah, I agree.
And what about exercise?
Yeah.
How long until they can go back to walks and fetch?
So your vet's going to give you specific instructions.
Okay.
But generally plan on restricting activity for at least a week or two.
Okay.
Short-leashed walks for potty breaks are okay.
Gotcha.
But nothing strenuous.
So no romping around at the dog park.
No, give that incision time to heal.
Right.
And then even after that initial recovery period, you want to gradually increase their activity level.
Okay.
Don't go from couch potato to marathon runner overnight.
Right. So all of that post-op stuff that we just talked about applies to chemical castration too, right?
Actually, not really, because there's no incision. With the implant. You don't have to worry about wound care.
Gotcha.
Are those strict activity restrictions.
Okay. But you still want to monitor them.
You do.
For any signs of discomfort or unusual behavior.
Right.
One source mentioned that some dogs experience swelling or tenderness at the site.
At the implant site.
Okay.
But that usually goes away pretty quickly.
Gotcha. Okay. And then remember that implant takes a few weeks.
It does.
To reach its full effect.
It does.
So be patient.
Yeah.
That those hormonal changes, they don't happen right away.
They don't happen overnight.
Okay, so even if the procedure is different, you still need to be patient and observant.
Definitely.
And don't forget those lifestyle adjustments we talked about.
Right.
Keep an eye on their diet. Make sure they're getting enough exercise.
Yep.
Be prepared for potential coat changes or personality changes.
Right.
And speaking of personality changes, one of the sources shared a really funny story about her dog, Chester.
Chester.
She opted for chemical castration.
Okay.
And after the implant, she said that her dog became way more puppy-like.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and his behavior.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because testosterone does contribute to a lot of those adult dog behaviors.
Right.
Like territoriality and dominance.
Okay.
So when you lower those levels, you might see a more playful, less assertive dog.
So cute.
Yeah.
And she loved it.
She did.
She loved that extra fluffiness and the renewed puppy energy.
That's awesome.
But it is definitely something for owners to consider.
It is.
That castration, whether it's surgical or chemical, could shift your dog's personality.
It could.
In subtle ways.
Yeah. We often focus on the more obvious behavioral changes.
Right. Yeah.
But those little nuances in their personality can really have a big impact on that owner-dog bond.
So true.
So it's all about finding what works best for you.
Right.
And your companion.
And sometimes that means just...
Sometimes it means trying it out and seeing how it goes.
And that's where...
And that's where chemical castration can be such a valuable tool.
Such a valuable tool.
Yeah.
Okay. So... We've covered a ton of information.
We have.
But before we wrap things up, I think it's important to acknowledge the ethical dimension of this decision.
We've talked about all the practicalities, the health aspects, the behavioral aspects.
Right.
But it is important to remember that this is a procedure that alters their biology in a fundamental way.
That's such a good point.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up.
It is.
In the pros and cons.
Yeah.
But we do have a responsibility to these animals.
Absolutely.
To really weigh everything carefully and make the best decision.
And the most ethical choice.
Yes. The most ethical choice for their well-being.
For their well-being.
And sometimes the most ethical choice might be to not neuter at all.
It might.
Yeah.
If the risks outweigh the benefits.
Yeah. There's no shame in that.
No, there's not.
If that's what's best for your dog. Okay. So... As we head into the final part of our deep dive, just remember, knowledge is power.
It is.
We've explored a lot of information today. And now you can have those conversations with your vet.
Absolutely.
And make an informed choice.
An informed choice.
For your dog.
That's what we want.
Okay, we'll be back soon with the final installment.
Looking forward to it.
We've still got some practical tips.
Yep.
And insights to help you make this important decision.
See you soon.
And we're back.
Back for round three.
Round three of our deep dive on canine castration.
All right. So we've covered a lot of ground.
We have the whys, the hows, the what ifs.
The risks, the benefits.
The risks, the benefits. The alternatives. Okay. So you've done your homework.
You've talked to your vet.
Maybe even a behaviorist.
Right. You've weighed all the options.
You've weighed all your options.
And you've made the decision.
And you've made the decision to neuter.
Okay.
Now what?
Now what indeed?
What happens next?
So both surgical and chemical castration.
Okay.
They impact hormones, obviously.
Right.
But the actual process is quite different.
It is. Okay, so let's start with the surgical side.
Right.
What can a dog owner expect
Okay.
leading up to and on the day of the surgery?
So first, you'll need to schedule the procedure with your vet.
Okay.
They'll probably give you some pre-op instructions,
Mm-hmm.
things like fasting your dog for a certain amount of time
Right.
before the anesthesia.
Okay. And one of the sources actually recommended taking like a day or two
Okay.
of vacation time
Yeah.
for the surgery. Is that really necessary?
It's not always essential,
Okay.
but it can be really helpful,
Mm-hmm.
especially if you have a high energy dog
Okay.
or one that's prone to anxiety.
Right.
You know, that pre-surgery day
Yeah.
is all about keeping things calm and low stress,
Right.
which can actually lead to a smoother recovery.
Makes.
And then the day after,
Yeah.
you know, your pup might be a bit groggy, a little sore,
Right.
needing some extra TLC.
Yeah. And they've got that no licking the wound situation.
The cone of shame.
The cone of shame.
It's not the most fashionable, but it's so important.
It is.
Those Elizabethan collars or the inflatable donut, kind of crucial for preventing your dog from messing with those stitches.
Right.
And, you know, potentially causing an infection.
Right. Better little cone awkwardness than a post-op infection.
I agree.
All right. So then what about exercise?
Okay.
How long until we can go back to walks and fetch and all that good stuff?
Yeah. So your vet will give you specific instructions.
Okay.
But generally you're looking at limited activity.
Okay.
For at least a week or two.
All right.
Short-leashed walks for potty breaks
gotcha.
Are usually fine.
Okay.
But nothing too strenuous.
So no dog park.
No dog park.
Okay.
Not yet, at least.
Gotcha. So no romping around.
No romping.
Okay.
Give that incision time to heal.
Okay. And even after that initial recovery period,
yes.
It's still important to
gradually increase their activity level.
Okay.
We don't want to go from 0 to 60.
Right. Ease them back in.
Ease them back in.
Okay.
Gently.
So all of that post-op stuff
right.
applies to chemical castration too, right?
Actually, not so much.
Oh. Okay.
Because there's no incision with the implant.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to worry about wound care
okay.
or activity restrictions.
Gotcha. But you still want to keep an eye on them.
You do.
Just to make sure they're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Not having any weird reactions.
Exactly. One source mentioned that
yeah.
some dogs might experience a little swelling or tenderness at the implant site.
Okay.
But that usually goes away pretty quickly.
So it's usually nothing to worry about.
No, not usually.
And remember that implant? It takes a few weeks to kick in.
It does.
So be patient.
Be patient. Those hormones.
Those hormones, they don't change overnight.
They don't change overnight. Right. So even if the procedure is different,
mm-hmm.
that need for patience.
Yes.
And observation.
I pulse
to both.
Process.
Okay.
Definitely.
And don't forget those lifestyle adjustments we talked about.
Important.
Keep an eye on their diet.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure they're getting enough exercise.
Yes.
And be prepared for those potential coat changes.
Mm.
Personality changes.
You know, this whole deep dive has really shown me just how complex this decision really is.
It is. There's a lot to think about.
There is.
And there's no right answer.
There's no one-size-fits-all answer.
Right. It depends on the dog.
It depends on that individual dog.
And their circumstances.
And their unique circumstances.
Yeah. I think it's been a really informative journey.
I hope so.
I hope so.
For everyone.
I hope it's been helpful for our listeners. You know, armed with all this information.
Right.
They can approach those conversations with their vet.
Exactly.
With confidence.
With confidence. That's what we want.
That's what we want.
And hopefully we spark some curiosity.
I hope so.
To learn more and advocate for their furry friends.
Yeah, because at the end of the day,
it's
all about providing the best possible care.
Absolutely.
For our furry family members.
Well said. And on that note, we wrap up our deep dive.
Our deep dive on canine castration.
On canine castration. Until next time, everyone.
Keep those tails wagging.
Keep those tails wagging.
And those brains engaged.
And those brains engaged.